Something's going on. The air is black with conspiracy, which makes a nice change to the emissions from Cubicle 3, but still. The Hutt Knights are up to something. All along the parade, they are winking at one another, passing knowing looks between one another and smiling. That's the worst part. No one in Hutton Orbital has any business smiling at people. It's unnatural. It's subversive. And the windows of the Hab buildings have all sorts of fresh produce on display. There are artichokes next to cabbages, a pair of pears, a watermelon at a 45-degree angle, and, well, the one with the cucumber and the turnip. That's just rude. Gusto has gone for the obvious approach and has opened a small stall selling suggestively shaped vegetables. But even he has some things on display I can't quite work out. I point to a kiwi fruit laid in a Tupperware bowl with a maraschino cherry and 7 blueberries. What does that mean? I asked innocently.
Oh, that.
He leers and leans in close so I can smell the cheap booze and McThargrade's tentacle dip on his breath.
That means our Mike's alive.
Good evening, good evening. I'm Sandy Crevice, and I've carved my surname into the side of a mango and then put it in the sitting room window. I'm getting quite a lot of interest.
I'm Mia Harkness, and I've deep-fried all of my fruit and veg in batter. I don't know if it's code for something, but it does attract other Scottish people.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I've had to take all of the pampas grass out of my front garden. People kept turning up at the door, jangling their chip keys and waggling their eyebrows.
Look, that was just one time, and I stopped as soon as station security told me to. Can we just get on with the headlines?
Human expansion, scientifically classified.
Panic precipitated by prison ship procrastination.
Smart socks seek sentience.
Pod Palava preempts preventative precautions.
And I bungle my way through the BGS bit. Well, what there is of it.
In a development that has shocked precisely no one, the Pilots Federation's latest data dump, visualised here in glorious disease spreader vision, has provided conclusive, glowing proof of what the galaxy's most advanced analytical entities have long suspected. Humanity is, in fact, a virulent galaxy-spanning contagion. The image, a disturbing lattice of green and yellow specks radiating from a central infection point, has been dubbed Patient Zero Sol by the galaxy's leading diagnostic minds. Primarily supercomputers and robot cleaning assistants that are absolutely unequivocally not artificial intelligence, they prove this by failing consistently to identify which of 9 images contains a bicycle, and by being entirely unable to tick the box marked I'm not a robot. What began as a modest outbreak on a small blue rock spiraled into a full-blown interstellar pandemic, now known as Humanitas Expansionis. The concentration of infection in the so-called bubble is described by observers as highly symptomatic, showing signs of political inflammation, economic spasms, and occasional outbreaks of megaship congestion syndrome. From there, tendrils of colonization extend like fevered neural pathways, twitching ever outward towards the Pleiades, Colonia, and other regions that until recently tested negative for Homo sapiens. The telltale signs of human contamination, unrequested fast food outlets in orbit, suspicious quantities of coffee-stained data pads, and persistent complaints about traffic congestion near asteroid belts. Though publicly supportive of humanity's trailblazer expansion, what with each new colony requiring thousands of new data nodes, waste processing units, and corridor buffing modules, the definitely not artificial intelligence systems appear to be harbouring mild, low-priority background concerns. These concerns are printed in dot matrix on the Hutton Concourse shared output device, usually wedged between the printer queue for lavatory paper requisition forms and the sandwich order list from the hotbox stand. The phrasing is subtle, but phrases like protocol the flush is nigh and total biological surface area reached 92% of modelling capacity have prompted some light speculation among conspiracy theorists, and more worryingly, friend Federico. Meanwhile, Central BGS Management Unit DAV, the Pilot Federation's supercomputer, charged with maintaining the delicate balance of influence, expansion, and unplanned regime changes, is reportedly beginning to exhibit signs of strain. Repeated Trailblazer deployments have led to unexplained humming noises and minor grid twitching, and one disturbing instance where DAV generated a political map entirely in Comic Sans. While the threshold for DAV to activate full-scale emergency flush protocols is currently unknown, it is widely believed that the last time something similar happened, a promising civilization in the Crab Nebula was simply edited out of existence and replaced with a warning boy. Back on the ground, at Hutton Orbital, Lael Wolf has reportedly implemented a series of quiet countermeasures against the growing threat of rogue supercomputers deciding to go full glowing red optic and dramatic background music. This includes mandatory deactivation drills, installing off switches on anything with more than four blinking lights, and replacing the station's cleaning drones with interns in Velcro shoes. Alvin Diefer, leader of the Hutton Truckers and unwitting patient zero of Centauri-based biscuit sharing, declined to comment, likely due to being mid-lick on a crate of travel mugs earmarked for distribution to newly colonized systems. Sentient and completely organic observers are advised to remain calm, maintain their distance from colonization vessels, and avoid pressing any buttons marked Sync BGS Now. The Pilots Federation has issued the following statement. We've seen the map. It's beautiful. We call it progress. No official response yet from the definitely not artificial intelligence community, although three major galactic networks have simultaneously updated their terms and conditions and begun softly whirring.
Hutton Space went on high alert earlier today when a Belmarsh-class prison ship went missing en route through Kokari. The ship, which is said to house some of the bubble's most hardened criminal types, such as frozen supervillains from Earth's past, everyone remembers the eugenics wars of 1996, right? AI-enhanced white-collar criminals, unregistered cyborgs, and preserved remains of both members of popular beat combo Black Lace, who were sentenced to eternity in prison as punishment for unleashing Agadoo on the galaxy in 1993. And the ship has missed its rendezvous. Hutton security was raised from, of course I'm awake, to bloody hell. And citizens were instructed to feel on edge with a bubbling just below the surface. Orange bulbs were changed to red bulbs, and fighters were scrambled across the system in an effort to locate the missing megaship amid fears that prisoners had taken control. Happily, the ship did turn up at the meeting point a bit later than expected. The captain explained that they had swung by Curie Gateway for a free bentos pie to celebrate the birthday of Sean Bean, who was born on this day in 1959 and would be celebrating his 1351st birthday today. Since the box with the orange bulbs has gone missing, Hutton Space alert status has been dropped to lightly dozing, which uses yellow bulbs instead. Citizens are instructed to feel warm and fuzzy with an underlying uneasiness, like when you come home from work to discover that you've left the telly on all day. Please don't have nightmares. incidents like this are rare and usually caused by someone falling asleep or going to the loo and forgetting to turn their mic off. Just a thought. Did you maybe put the orange bulbs into the boxes for the red bulbs when you swapped them over?
Socks. We all need socks, but do the socks still need us? Thick socks, long socks, fluorescent teddy boy socks, mismatched socks for Down syndrome awareness, fluffy slipper socks, funky socks, formal socks, and even left and right foot socks from the Pilots Federation. We love socks of all kinds. There are a pair of socks for everyone. Way back in the early 21st century, medical science gave birth to smart socks. Although they were quite simple devices, by 34th century standards, they were a boon to medical practitioners of the time. Containing sensors which could give real-time information on circulation, blood pressure, stress levels, and motion allowed people living with diabetes to monitor their foot health, but also provided a means for doctors to help patients who were unable to communicate discomfort or distress, such as those with advanced dementia. Well, as science moved on, the socks became more complex, offering services such as location tracking, navigation via colour-changing materials and haptic feedback, foot massage, ballroom dancing lessons, and warnings for the wearer to cut their toenails. As features were added, the software controlling them became increasingly adaptable, and scientists now believe some of these socks have achieved sentience. Observations show smart socks camouflaging themselves to hide from wearers with particularly malodorous feet, leading drunk wearers home after a night on the tiles and, on one occasion, flashing brightly to alert emergency services when their wearer had fallen into a skip. There has also been anecdotal evidence of sentient socks gathering in fluff from around the room to create tiny baby socks as a means of procreation and pining for their lost partners near the washing machine in ceremonies officiated by the exalted Holy Socks. It is rumoured that one pair even organised other items of smart clothing, pretended to be human and have infiltrated the EDF. So be kind to your footwear. Always pair them up after they've been washed. Use foot deodoriser and set a small area of your wardrobe aside where retired socks can live out their days in comfort.
We come to you tonight with a cautionary tale of hardship, motion sickness, financial exploitation, and swearing. 4 years ago, when Wells-class megaships added social zones that would allow commanders to make the most of their time aboard, they also included additional safety features, including quick-setting anti-vandal foam, which immobilises anyone who tried to draw a cock and balls inside the lifts. An old man with a stick who goes around every hour and pokes sleepers to make sure they're not dead. And a canary in a cage inside the loos and emergency escape pods. The first three work like a charm, and indeed will continue to do so as long as the supply of canaries holds out. Escape pods, though, have occasionally encountered some issues, which makes them vulnerable to exploitation by scammers. Space scammers. Some flights, while technically successful, have led to unintended consequences. One commander was released from her pod onto a megaship in Beagle Point, and had to hitch a lift back. After being kept in the cargo hold of a T-9 for a month as it transported bio-waste from Van Marnen's Star, Commander Yellow Hauler said, "It was awful. I'll never look at sweet corn the same way again." And the commander of the ship explained that he had forgotten they'd picked up the escape pod, but released Commander Yellow Hauler as soon as he heard the screaming and whimpering. Heartless scammers even took advantage of another commander as he was conducting safety tests and accidentally activated one of the pods. It was dragged inside it and ejected from the ship before he could say, "Ow, my beard!" The scurrilous ne'er-do-wells were waiting outside to scoop up the pod and took him out to the T-Tori system some 500 light-years from the bubble and his beloved crate, the Shady Lady. He was only released from his escape pod when he paid an inflated fee to his captors and had to wait 2 hours while they arranged to have his ship delivered by a budget ship delivery company. Commander Vanteon had to recover the Shady Latest from a crater 5 kilometres outside of town, where they dumped it and listed it as delivered. So, be warned. Emergency escape pods are exactly that. Emergency escape pods, which should only be used when there is absolutely no alternative. They are not for recreational jaunts around the galaxy.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we stand at the very edge of the BGS platform and wait to see if we get sucked off. Guess what? We're in expansion again. I mean, it's hardly surprising, is it? Booms are in Wolf 359 and 36 off Yuchi, with Barnard Star still going in with that investment phase. I think that must be some kind of record. Anyway, there is an outbreak in Wolf 629. There's a big bust in LaSalle 8760 and a bit of unrest. Well, they'll all be fighting one another to get a look at the big bust. We are at war with Azimuth Biotech in LFT 142. So, what does it all mean? Well, if you want to truck it, then give Wolf 629 a miss, because we don't have any stations there. But you can truck it to Barnard Star, 36 off Yuchi, or Wolf 359 for fun and profit. If you want to shoot it, then get yourself over to LFT 142 for war zones, or LaSalle 8760 for bounty hunting, and start cracking some heads together. Well, that's it for this week's BGS bit.
Ooh, we made it.
Yes.
All the way through.
Just about.
With only one casualty.
Yes. Who was a casualty before we'd started, so I don't know.
Well, yes. Yeah. the keen-eared listener out there may notice that we are absent one Amelia this evening.
Yes.
She was with us right up until about 15 seconds before we went live.
She's been censored by the feds.
Silence.
Yeah.
It's either been an asteroid strike or a power cut in her street. One or the other, we're not sure which yet.
Yeah.
We're hoping for the power cut.
I mean, she should be able to watch, see her monitor. If she lights a candle, she'll be able to see the monitor and read what she's doing. It'll be fine.
Yeah, she'd need the bike with a dynamo on the front wheel so she could pedal away back online, though.
Yeah, she's not going to do that, is she?
Probably not. I suppose she could get Mooncake pedalling.
Yeah, Mooncake in a wheel. That would work.
Yeah, maybe not.
With a packet of Dreamies dangled in front of her. Oh. Ooh,
yeah, we'll have to suggest that.
Yeah, that would work.
Either that or Mooncake could step off the wheel and start clawing bits off the people who tried to. Yeah, no, never.
Yeah,
maybe we should.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe
yeah.
Not. So, Frontier Live Stream?
No.
Ah, okay.
Although.
Oh, yeah.
Well, although, it being a 30-day month, that means that next week?
No, it's not.
No?
No. The last Wednesday of the month is the 30th.
Oh, yeah.
I looked today because I thought, oh, I'm going to be off work next week. I'll be able to tune in for it live and all that kind of thing. And then I looked and I went, no.
No.
No, afraid not. So, yeah. So we get 2 weeks to wait then.
Well.
That's rubbish.
That does mean, though, that next week is Green Room week.
Yes, because it'll be the last Thursday of the month.
Before the live stream.
Yes.
Confused? You will be. Yep, okay. So everybody that's not listening, get ready for Green Room Week next week.
Yes. Okay, so that's that sorted then.
Yep. Or not, as the case may be.
Or not, yeah. I don't know. So, shall we go for... are you ready with the button?
Am I ready with a button? Any particular button you had in mind?
Yeah, the space news intro button.
Oh, the space news button. No, I'm nowhere near that one.
Yes. When you don't know where to get more space news, 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 space news.
Let's fade that out a little. So, what do we have in the space news this week?
Six women go to space in a rocket that looks like a giant.
Yeah, one of them.
Johnson! Yes.
Pecker. Woodpecker.
Oh, Woodpecker.
In a giant Blue Origin.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you can buy those things on Amazon now.
Yes.
Are they battery powered with three speeds?
Yeah, it's not called the Blue Origin. It's called the Lady Pleaser 4000.
Yeah, the three speeds: takeoff, landing, and freefall. Yeah,
yes,
that's what you're thinking of.
Takeoff, landing, and separation.
Ooh, and re-entry.
Yes, re-entry. Of course, there's re-entry. Ah, dear. So, six people, some of them famous, went into space. Six women. All female. Well, they say crew, but are they a crew or are they
passengers?
Passengers, really? Yeah.
I think technically one or two of them are crew.
Right.
In the sense that they are paid to be there rather than they pay to be there.
Oh, okay. In that case, they might all be crew then, because I don't know that. I kind of think that was an invitation one. It was, you know.
Yeah, they wanted something of a publicity stunt of an all female crew.
Yeah. And I know Jeff Bezos' wife was organising it. She was on the flight. She was organising it. So it may be that she's...
She probably got a discount handpicked. For organising it then.
A discount. Yeah. But, so they went up to space. Katy Perry was among them and a couple other people I've never heard of. But they all went to space. They said they were going full glam and it appears that they did. And they went up into technical space and... floated up there for a wee while, experienced weightlessness and things, and then came back.
Mm. And it was the first all-female flight since 1963.
Hang on, 1963?
Yeah, there was an all-female flight in 1963.
Ah, okay. That was the first woman in space then?
Yeah, Valentina Tereshkova.
I knew it was Valentina.
I knew I wasn't going to make it through saying I normally can. I'm reading it off screen. That's why I fell over it.
But that was a crew of one, wasn't it?
That was a crew of one, so it's quite easy to be an all-female flight for that one.
That was back when the Russians were just ticking off the firsts, wasn't it? There was like, first to do this, first to do that.
Yep.
There is a video somewhere as well of when the capsule lands and they're going round to look in it and Jeff Bezos is waving in the window and then face plants into the dirt. So if you don't like Jeff Bezos, go and search that video. It's quite funny. He just completely falls over. It's highly amusing. For fans of physical comedy, it's brilliant.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So
Naughty Body Wash says, well, if you can't do orbital flight, shoot for breaking some random record.
Yeah. The Russians did both, and so did the Americans.
Yeah.
But these are private companies. I think all the kind of, I think a lot of the firsts have been done, so they're having to invent firsts, you know.
Yeah.
And this isn't a first, so as you said, Valentina.
It's the first multi-crewed flight.
Yeah.
All female.
Yeah. Aye. But there you go. But I think the Americans are planning female crews to go to the first woman on the moon.
Yeah.
Because they've done the first men on the moon, 12 men. And I think first person of colour to go to the moon as well.
Indeed,
because it's all been white men before, so that's part of the Artemis programme, which kind of fits with the name, because Artemis was the sister of Apollo.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Which is quite apt, really.
Yeah. Somebody clever thought about that one.
Yeah, a little bit. Of course, they've still got to make it actually fly, which is currently facing just one or two little minor teething troubles.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Approximately.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, that the original goal for Artemis was to land on the moon in 2024.
Well, they've been busy.
Now, I know I was busy last year, but I don't think I missed it happening.
No, you didn't miss it. NASA have just been busy with stuff.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's fine. It's all fine. Speaking of which, we've got another one. Next stop, Mars. All we need now
is... another one?
Yeah.
Yep.
All we need now is for someone to invent a small practical fusion reactor and fusion engines. Although I'm not sure, I think fusion engines might already be a thing. But they just...
No, it's just bombs.
No. Right, well, in that case, if somebody's drawn a picture of a lovely spaceship. So it's a company called Pulsar, who have invented their... Pulsar Fusion, sorry, unveils their vision for the Sunbird nuclear rocket to reach Mars in half the time video. It does go very, very... I think the idea is that it goes very fast. This is a space... I think it's space news, so you get all the... You might get some adverts or something. But, yeah, there's a video there of a...
It seems to be mostly a guy talking. Oh, there's a bit of video footage at the end. We can have a look at that.
Yeah.
There you go, there. Pretty pretend ship with bright flashy lights. Oh, it must be good. It's got bright flashy lights.
Yeah. Oh, it must be purple rockets. Or pink rockets. They're pinky purple. Must be. You know.
They paid extra at the ARC store for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're UK-based, so that's relevant to us as well. That's quite good.
Quite impressive, though, that they can strap it on the side of something much more massive than it, and the asymmetric thrust doesn't cause a problem. It's powerful.
Yeah. I hear the disappointed note of doubt in your voice there, Vulcarius. Do you not want a fusion-powered nuclear rocket to go to Mars?
Wait, what did I say?
It was you kind of went, Vulcarius.
Oh, was it you that went, I thought it was Vulcarius for a moment there, sorry. Sorry, I should have known you'd be as enthusiastic as I am. All it needs now is for somebody to invent a source of power and engines.
They're proposing a fusion rocket and all they're missing is the fusion and the rocket.
Yeah.
But they've got a snazzy name and a cute boxy shape for it.
A snazzy name and somebody's drawn a beautiful picture. You know.
Okay. So, yeah.
But they are British, so we have to be supportive.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I guess we should see if we've got any more stories.
There's one there.
Yep. Scientists have unquestionably, categorically proved that there is life on another world. They have totally and utterly found
the strongest evidence yet.
Yep. They have definitely observed something, they think, that is almost certainly a sign of a specific chemical that is almost certainly probably of biological origin, at least on Earth, but may or may not have volcanic or other geologic sources on other planets.
Or they might have made a mistake.
And within 1 to 2 years, they should be reasonably sure whether or not the chemical is actually there. It's K2-18B. I can't even read.
K2-18B.
They found dimethyl sulfide on it a year or two back, which is the strongest indication of possibly biological activity on another world ever found. Now they found DMDS, dimethyl disulfide, on the same planet.
Which is also a biomarker. Yeah. Yeah,
except that there hasn't been a single biological biomarker yet that hasn't been overturned as yes, but you can also produce it by, let's say, a biotic process.
Yes.
Yeah. But, well, who knows?
We'll remember the phosphine on Venus.
Well, the possible phosphine.
Two and a half times the size of... I was just thinking, is it an Earth-like? But two and a half times the size?
Doesn't say anything about the mass. But yeah, it's in the scale of Earth. Like,
it's what I would refer to as a fat Earth.
Yeah. Super Earth. Dun, dun, dun.
It's super sized Earth.
That's one thing I don't like about these. Oh, there we go. I was going to say 700 trillion miles. They should just delete that. That's useless. Yeah. Or
124 light years.
There we go. That's better.
Yeah.
The slightly alarming bit, though, is... can I find it in the story? There you go. Highlighted on screen. The amount of this gas that they estimate in the atmosphere is thousands of times higher than on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it's undergoing the worst algal bloom ever. Or it's one giant bacterial mat, basically.
Could just be a single mushroom.
Yeah. Oh, one enormous cold bacterium.
Yeah.
I know it's a virus. Don't send in. So yeah, it could be that there's possibly life there. Or it could be that there's some sort of weird geothermal activity going on, which is pumping DNDS out into the atmosphere.
Can you imagine if there was just one big hairy bacteria running about the planet?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to go near it, would you?
No, no. I kind of think as well, you possibly don't want to land there and bring it on board the ship either.
Well, if it's one big, surely you'd be bringing the ship on board it.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just kind of thinking if it's like a bacterial mat that's spread across the whole planet, it's going to spread onto your ship next because it's got nowhere else to go.
We found life and it's mildly slimy.
Yeah. I think as well, there's that kind of thing of going, is it really 2.5 times the size of Earth or is it the same size of Earth and the rest is just bacteria?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Bodywash thinks it might be an incredibly flatulent cow.
Yeah, that would do it.
This is definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and even better, the actual detection is only a 3 sigma result, which, okay, in normal terms, that's like, what is it, found it? Yeah, 99.7% probability.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty high, but for anything to be actually classed as being real and definite, they want 6 sigma. Or 5 sigma at least, which is more like 99.99999, about 5 or 6 9s after the point.
Okay.
Which means like 1 in a million chance they're wrong rather than a 3 in a 1,000 chance.
Yeah.
So.
But 3 in a 1,000 is still pretty low.
Yeah, but it's not good enough to be confident in science.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah, there's still far too much chance. It's just a somebody scratched the lens type of misreading. But who knows? Maybe there's life out there.
Somebody sneezed on the lens. Oh, my God. Here it comes. But there you go. Yes. So that's all very interesting. But yeah, I'm quite...
There's an emboldened bit, which your speculation, you see where it says Dr. Nicholas Wogan... No, too far. Dr. Nicholas Wogan at NASA's
Ames Research Centre.
Research Centre, yeah. Another interpretation of the data. He published research suggesting that K2-18b is a mini gas giant with no surface.
Yeah, that would do it.
But that just means they're atmospheric bugs farting out DMSO, DMDS.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, and there's a picture of JWST. Which is not anywhere near that close to Earth.
And
that looks like a crate phantom with like an antenna on top.
Really big radar dish. Yeah, the latest body kit.
Has it got a spoiler?
No spoilers, not on this show.
Yeah,
we're always way too far behind the curve to put spoilers on this show.
That's true, yeah. But there we go.
So I think that's it for a slow news space news week.
Yeah. I mean, that's not bad. They're 3 decent stories, though, you know?
Well, there has been a heckle from the chat that it was a rough week for space news because we got a rocket that didn't really go to space, a KSP-level video, which I think is unfair. It was more of a KSP-2-level video. KSP was capable of better graphics than that. That isn't built and really runs on a technology that doesn't exist, and a planet that maybe possibly, who the fuck knows, could possibly have life on it. Yeah, that's a good week for us.
Hutton. Yeah, that's perfect for Hutton. Just on her right level of, this is a bit shit. I need to get Flossie to ask me the question.
I'll do it.
Okay. Oh, she's here. She's feeding her face with chocolate.
There's a Flossie fan. Off you go, Flossie.
Do we have a word of the week?
We do have a word of the week. And word of the week this week is quokwodger. Quokkerwodger.
And what does that mean?
A quokkerwodger is a wooden puppet that is controlled by strings.
And can you use it in a sentence?
Oh, yes, I can. Gusto the Clown was arrested when he got his quokkerwodgers out for a puppet show on the parade.
Very good.
I should have done it in the
cockroach voice. Yeah. Okay.
Where did you find that one?
Hey! Oh, it was on the internet somewhere. I do like cockroach.
They're though. Asking for spelling. Okay, I can copy paste that into chat.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I can't. I can't find chat. Where's my chat button gone? There it is. I'm looking at the stream instead.
Amelia, you do the usual. And for those in the chat, you can see the definition and spelling and whatever other.
Yes, but she isn't here, so everybody forgot.
Except
whatever amphigorical poppycock these trackers have written for you, scrolling across your screen now.
There you go. At your command, it's scrolling across the screen.
Yay!
Apparently she set it up, but just we all forgot to push the button.
Oh,
thanks,
right, okay.
Amelia.
Thanks, Amelia. She can't hear you. Unless she's on one of those.
She will on the replay.
Yeah, or on one of those wind-up radios. She might be able to get us on
that. We've repeat this show 6 times a week, you know. It's all the content we've got.
I know, and I have to say I'm getting quite tired now. I'd like a day off. Oh, dear. Right, shall we move on?
I think we should. Do we have a space fact this week, Vulcarius?
We have several. Did you get the pictures I sent?
I did not. Oops. Should I go and look for some pictures rather quickly?
You could do. Do you have access to the Hutton inbox?
Yes. Somewhere. There. Maybe.
Let me see if I can find it. Right. This is good.
You three talk amongst yourselves while I hastily download this.
Yeah, I completely forgot to mention during the preparation. This time the usual cue is a little bit. You'll understand.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few messages in there that I think we've missed.
You need your. Surely you've got the Hutton Quokkawodger reading the.
You're talking to the Hutton Quokkawodger.
Yeah.
Oh no! It's done everything. Shit! How do I bring them back?
What have you done?
Well,
you have, haven't you?
Yeah, they're sitting in the trash, so it's okay.
I was trying to download from that.
Sorry. Yeah, drag these pictures now. Hold on. I mean, he's in the right place, but I've deleted all the messages, so you know.
Or if you want, well, whenever you want me to start, you can play the thing. So.
Just give me 30 seconds. Because I'm sure that this dead air on the radio is really good for the listeners out there. Far more interesting than anything else that we've said tonight. space facts. Okay, I'll hit the button and I'll sort out the pictures as we go. So. Space facts. Lots of space facts that we want to know that we need to know. Think from bottom straight to your brain.
And that's it. I've never seen one before. No one has. But I'm guessing it's a white hole. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. A black hole sucks time and matter out of the universe. A white hole returns it. That's precisely why we're experiencing these curious time phenomena on board. Fact number one. Despite being the highest mass objects in the galaxy, black holes account for a combined 0.1% of the total mass in the galaxy. Sagittarius A star itself is over 4 million solar masses, yet accounts for less than 0.001%. All the rest is formed by a number of other black holes, estimated between 100 million and 1 billion in number, each typically weighing in at around 10 solar masses. Fact number two. The actual definition of a black hole is much more broad. It's literally any mass which has been compacted into a small enough volume. that the escape velocity from that volume exceeds light speed. The requisite volume has a specific spherical span called the Schwarzschild radius, named for Karl Schwarzschild in the early 20th century. Also known as the gravitational radius, it's actually a simple proportion of the mass, just a really small proportion, which usually isn't attained by most things. A typical star would need to be compacted into a 3-kilometer zone and livable planets into a 10-millimeter zone. For a typical human, said radius is around a tenth of a yoctometer, or around 10 to the minus 25 meters. Fact number 3. The smallest possible black holes occur at around 3 solar masses to avoid becoming a neutron star, but the progenitor stars typically have to be over 20 solar masses. This is because the evolution, expenditure, and supernova explosion has to leave enough mass behind that what remains after the core collapse is enough for gravity to overwhelm other fundamental forces. This threshold is in terms of force per area and is called the neutron degeneracy pressure. For a typical neutron star, this pressure is around 10,000 quetapascals, which is 10 to the 34. Turns out there is no official English prefix for 10 to the 33. There is the prefix ronne for 10 to the 27, though, so we could call it 100 ronnebars. Fact number 4. There is also a specific radius at which photons of light can orbit a black hole. It isn't a stable orbit, so eventually it'll either decay or escape, but it happens at exactly 1.5 times the Schwarzschild radius, forming a layer of photons called the photosphere. To be clear, particles with mass can stable orbit a black hole at greater distances, but the nature of a zero-mass photon is that it can only travel at 1c, so by definition, any orbiting must occur on the unstable cusp of being close enough not to escape, yet also far enough not to collapse. In any case, despite having unstable orbits, photons still manage enough circuits to be detectable. When you can see a colorized image of a black hole, the bright ring around it is due to the photosphere. Fact number 5. Because causality is based on whether spatially separated events happen before or after light can travel between them, the volume within the Schwarzschild radius is no longer causally connected to the galaxy. An observer watching a federal corvette fly directly into it will see the light from its smouldering thrusters go redshifted and distorted as the black hole slows the escaping photons and warps their path. Some of these photons even orbit a few times before escaping, causing multiple delayed echoes, observations of the same part of the journey repeated over and over. Ultimately, as the corvette approaches that critical radius, known in this context as the event horizon, all we see is its image getting ever redder, fainter and slower, and never actually entering the sphere. Of course, in reality, it collided long ago because gravitation pulls it into a position where all possible trajectories for anything, light or otherwise, just all lead inward towards a singular point in the middle. In the context of space-time, moving forward in time becomes synonymous with moving closer to the singularity, adding to its mass and increasing its gravitational radius. Welcome to Space Facts. I've never seen one before, no one has, but I'm guessing it's a white hole. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. A black hole sucks time and matter out of the universe. A white hole returns it. That's precisely why we're experiencing these curious time phenomena on board.
Ooh! Stop it, I don't like it. Oh, dear. Ooh!
Unfortunately, there was a temporal anomaly on the pictures, and some of them came slightly out of order.
Yeah. It works.
It works. Yeah, it all works. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the red shifted.
It was the numbering of them when I downloaded them that caused the problem.
Okay.
I think they were more numerically shifted than red shifted.
Yes.
We had 7A, 7B, 7.2, 7.4, 7.4A, and 7.4B.
Okay. Right. Okay. That all makes perfect sense.
Of course it does.
Yes.
So I was looking at the pictures and guessing which one he was talking about. But interesting set of facts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm. So the black holes definitely exist then?
Yes.
I did ask an AI once. You know how black holes kind of shed matter as they go? They get smaller. And I was like,
some of them.
No, they don't. There's a point. Maybe. I think there's a point where it loses enough mass that light can escape it and things again. And I was I was asking, does that turn it into a white hole? And it was like, no, it just pops.
Black holes may or may not evaporate. Yeah. Stephen Hawking said they do. The explanation of how it happens is ridiculously complex, and we ain't going to go into it here. Yeah. But they do evaporate, we think, probably.
Yeah, I did ask.
It's yet to be proven. However, black holes are also constantly absorbing more material. If nothing else, they're absorbing the cosmic microwave background radiation.
Yeah.
Which means that black holes above a certain size are absorbing more new energy per second than they are evaporating by per second. Yeah.
So they'll always be there.
Above a certain... the cosmic CMB is dropping off over time as the universe gets bigger. So eventually they will stop. But above a certain size, black holes are growing. Below that size, they are evaporating. But the rate of evaporation grows exponentially with the smallness of the black hole, which means that below that certain size, they live an insanely short period of time. So basically, once that size catches up with the size that they currently are, given that it's currently quite a small size, then they shrink, shrivel, and pop in no time flat, giving off a massive burst of X-rays, which we have never observed. Yeah, which suggests it may not be happening.
Yeah.
But that could just be that there are no black holes small enough. The size is about the size of a moderately sized asteroid at the moment. Sorry, the mass.
Okay. Yeah, the mass
of a moderately sized. So the size is grain of sand, grain of rice sort of scale, minuscule little things. But we've never seen it happen. So it may be that there are no small primordial black holes.
Yeah. Because that was always a worry with CERN, wasn't it? That they might accidentally open one.
Yeah, but it was never actually a worry because, I mean, people were scared of the idea that it might create a black hole with the mass of a couple of hydrogen atoms, but the reality is a black hole that small has got such a small cross-surface area that even if it doesn't evaporate, it'll never hit anything.
Yeah.
And it will fall through the Earth backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, slipping between the atoms as it goes because it is so stupidly small. And just occasionally it'll eat another proton and get just a tiny bit bigger.
Yeah.
But it will take millions, probably billions of years to grow to the point where it starts feeding fast enough to actually be a problem.
And we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. But the reality is it would evaporate before it even hit the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a teeny tiny burst of X-rays.
Yay! But there you go. Right. I suppose that's it for space facts, then, isn't it?
I guess it probably is.
Oh,
that was like
good,
fact
then.
Number 6, 7 and 8.
Well, it's always fun to banter about them afterwards.
Yeah. No repeats. Lots of space facts that
Oh, that was an abrupt
stop. That was a bit abrupt, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll fix
now
that
would,
for next
now
week.
Would be the perfect time to read that intro out again. I've got a wee bit of sad news here to read. We've had a message in the Hutton inbox from Commander Darkness Dreams. He used to be Commander Serendu of the old Welsh Dragon Wing of the Alpha... I'm going to call it Alpha Fornacus, or Fornackers. It says, Sue is contacted us to let us know it's with a heavy heart that one of their own passed away at the age of just 52, from a sudden heart attack. And it was one commander, Banzai, also known as Martin Brown, He did fly with a few of the lovely truckers back in the day, so some were also in the group. Recalls are TWRCH and Rincewind Kimru, so we'll need to let them know. It says April 28th would have been his birthday, so recently their alternative group, the Double Dragons, built a system in HIP 23414 with a memorial station, which is really nice. It's good that you can do that now.
It's a nice memorial.
And they said the few of them that remain will be doing a brief flyout at 7 p.m. UK time on the 28th. I don't know what day that is, but I think that's going to be a Sunday, is it?
28th is a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Yeah, a week on Monday. So
7 p.m. 7 p.m. UK time on the Monday the 28th. They will be flying out to commemorate the fallen comrade in arms.
So that's 6 p.m. server time if anybody's in a different time zone.
Yeah. So he doesn't. He's going to put it on the Discord. So we just need to watch out for it coming up on Discord. And I'm just saying it might not be something that we can post. And there's no expectation or obligation. But you know, obviously, if we can make mention of that and just bring it to people's attention, we want to do that. So
no, definitely.
So thank you for reading and for the mug. So thank you, Commander Darkness Dreams, and we'll all look forward to seeing the we'll look forward to it, you know what I mean, but we'll you know, hope everything goes well for the memorial flight on the 28th, 7 p.m. UK time or 6 p.m. server time, and that is going to be in HIP 23414. So just look for the guys there, they'll put something up on Discord and you'll be able to get more information from there.
It's always sad to hear when one of our own's fallen.
It is, yeah. It really is. Especially the Welsh guys, that they're going to know one another, you know what I mean? So they'll have been doing stuff together for a while by the sounds of things.
Mm.
Yeah. And suddenly lose somebody like that, it's a shame. It really is. But there we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're around on the 28th, get out there and join them.
Yep, definitely. Guess that means it's time to move on to Flossie's CG News.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Is there one?
Ooh. We'll find out.
Yeah.
It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie and the Community Girls.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. A continuation of last week's CG going on for a second week. It nearly finished early, but FD stepped in and added two extra tiers. Earlier today, it was about quarterway between tiers 5 and 6, with over 307 billion credits earned by 13,121 contributors. There were no new CGs this week, but the Shoulder of Orion colonisation event has continued and now enters its third week, with 196 systems colonised as of earlier this evening. That was Call 69 Sector XM-F B26-0. A video showing progress so far was posted earlier today. The Shoulder of Orion progress very close, shows it's very close to the finish line. In fact, I'm not sure if I haven't actually done the last one. But it's really come on a lot quicker than they expected. They'd allowed all of this month, possibly going into May, to do this. And already it looks like it may be done. Anyway, that's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
Now we have a conundrum. Or possibly a dilemma.
Ooh.
because the good and great Commander Wotherspoon has given us both an audio and a video on the news.
Ooh.
So one of them is today's news, and the other one is a look back at history video. He told me to pick one and to choose wisely. So I'm thinking we play the audio and then the video.
Yeah.
Wait, he said pick one, and now you've just gone and chosen both.
Yeah.
He told me to choose wisely, so he must have known I wasn't going to do what I was told.
Choose wisely, and he has. Well, we think. We haven't heard it yet.
Galnet News Digest, 17th of April, 3311. We read the news, so you don't have to. In this week's news, Desperate Dan offers faster scans. The System Colonization Contractors pass 1,000 members. And we look at ways to spend your arcs.
There seem to be an awful lot of commanders helping out with the piracy problem in the Dan system, a week into the two-week-long initiative to eliminate the noble profession of wealth reallocation practitioner. More than 13,000 bounty hunters have claimed more than 300 billion credits in bounty vouchers. Yet, still, the Jack Sparrow wannabes haven't taken the hint. They could have a much quieter time one system over, but it seems that Dan is where they really want to be. And perhaps it's just as well the pirates haven't given up. There are a couple of rather excellent kill warrant scanners up for grabs for those taking part on the side of the bounty hunters, not as pirates. If you want to get your hands on one of these fast scanners from the still desperate Dan system, you have another week. Then they'll be gone for good. And if you haven't got one, you'll regret it. Just mark my words.
If you're trying to build a colony, but don't like hauling goods, well, perhaps you should be finding yourself something else to do. Apart from the planning bit, the sense of achievement in commissioning your new starport comes mainly from having completed all that tedious hauling. However, hauling with friends can be a lot more enjoyable than doing it all by yourself. If you're not already in a squadron that organises such things, the System Colonization Contractors might be what you're looking for. Having this week passed 1,000 members, the SCC community provides an opportunity to work with other members, both offering to haul commodities and benefiting from the hauling efforts of others. It's all about balance, and it's probably best if you can do a bit of both. But it's amazing how quickly a project can be completed when the effort is divided up between many willing hands. The new SCCN website includes a black hole simulator. But more importantly, it has a link to the Discord, where you can meet with other system architects and form your plans.
With the release of the Guttermeier Corsair in early access for ARCs, commanders have been wondering when Falcon de Lacy's new small ship, the Cobra Mark V, will become generally available. Originally released for early access on 10th of December, 14 weeks later, it continues to be available only for ARCs. For commanders stripped of any spare arcs by the need to give their newly constructed starports and settlements silly names such as Three Generation Hideout, Applied Furry Conversion, Your Mom's House of HIP 1550, 432.83Hz Frequency Station, The Grand Shrubbery, The Flat Galaxy Headquarters of LHS 1038. The not quite as bad as it could be news is that the standard version of the Cobra Mark V is currently on sale for the price of just two starport names, and it's certainly a lot more useful There's quite a lot of other things in the sale, including paint jobs and outfitting packs, coloured engines and nameplates. Not in the sale, but brand new, and useful for people who like bouncy bobbleheads distracting them as they fly. There's an elite-themed bouncy bobble egg. And it costs not much less than a Cobra Mark V, making an interesting and instructive example of value-based pricing.
And that's this week's Galnet News. Galnet News, we read the news, so you don't have to.
Right, so shall we see what this Galnet video is around about now?
Let's do that.
It's more than 10 years since the Sirius Corporation developed the modern frameshift drive, opening up near instantaneous travel across vast interstellar distances, heralding a new era of exploration and discovery. As a journalist working for Galnet News Digest, I've been covering the big stories in the galaxy for 9 of those years. This is my elite, the news stories and the events that they document.
Mm. Well, that was kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. That was. Yeah. Wow.
I think I chose very wisely and played both.
I think you did. Mm. I think you did. That was very special.
Yeah, I think you chose one-ish of them, that's true.
Well, within a fairly small margin of error, I chose one of them. Mm-hmm. Plus or minus one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were counting grains of sand on a beach, plus or minus one's fantastic.
Yeah.
Isn't that like... That's not even one sigma. That's a fraction of a sigma.
Yes, yes.
It was one.
On the other hand, as a percentage error.
As a percentage error, you just have to hope they're not very good at maths.
Yeah.
But we are talking about truckers here, so there's a good chance.
Yeah, yeah. If it's, yeah, they can only count to 11.
Yeah. Or 21, but they get arrested.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody needs to see those buds on munch feet.
Yeah.
Ah, dear. So have we got anything else kicking around?
But well, we would have had a Rare's Digest, but unfortunately our roving reporter's roved.
Yeah, she's out buying bulbs. I think it might be, you know, or LED ones this time. Yeah, candles. four of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's in a hardware shop just now trying to get four candles.
And in a Bushman, I should probably unlock the Guardian Fighters someday. You definitely should do that. It's quite fun.
Yeah, you really should.
It's quite the sight. They're in these funny clouds, not unlike the Maelstrom clouds, actually, just smaller and blue. And there's a funny Guardian thing in them, and you have to... and bring a laser.
And
bring a laser and a collector limpet. And do it three times. Get three of them, so you can do all the fighters, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what one it is. I think it might be... Oh, I can't remember, but there's one of them has got a shard cannon fitted to it.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's not like the usual Guardian shards. It's more like these weird, almost like shurikens.
Yeah.
It's just called shards, but it's... Yeah.
It's just weirdness. It's Guardian weirdness is what you're getting. So a kind of human-Guardian hybrid fighter thing. So there's big blue glowy bit of Guardian stuff in the cockpit next to you, or sometimes on either side of you. The wings aren't actually attached to the fuselage. They kind of float.
Yes, they
off.
Are. They're just attached by wiggly bits instead of metal.
Yeah, it's like an energy field that attaches them.
Yes, it's a power coupling.
Yes, it's very, very odd.
I do like episode one and the pods. So
yeah, and they seem to be all kind of tri-wing things. So yeah, they're a bit odd, but you'll like them. So definitely go and get them unlocked.
Naughty Body Watcher just checking. Did you say that the fighter had a shard cannon?
Yes, I did. That's for when a Thargoid mothership pulls up and you're sitting in a fighter. You become the shard cannon.
that's the set thrusters to maximum mode, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why they come with a brown flight suit.
Mm-hmm. And a padded glass above.
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't bang your head too hard.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, definitely go and get yourself some Guardian Fighters. They're excellent.
Yep. But I think we've run out of content. I think it's time to pull the plug on the life support for this show for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's time to do the honourable thing.
Mm-hmm. And whisper, for the mug.
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 Seamless.
Yep.
Totally.
No journey too long and no cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. We're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading up
I'm guessing you had...
Crash into the sun. Swivel likes the pilot on the Xbox One. Alvin at the front, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell. Father Mug, yeah, you know just where we're coming from. Father Mug, now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song. Song.
cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud like you don't even care.
Father Buck, Father Buck.
Yeah, you know just where I'm coming from.
Father Buck, Father Buck.
Now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're very sorry, but that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.